I literally do not remember an easier first hour to this program than that last hour. We go to our second hour. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. All right, so that literally was the easiest hour I've done in a long time. Why? Because three amazing things happened. Three amazing things happened, and that was easy enough to carry that first hour. Amazing thing number one, we had the U.S. men's national soccer head coach on, Greg Berhalter. Not only did I talk soccer, I talked to the new national coach, and it was awesome. That was amazing. The second amazing thing that happened was my opening take. What can I say? The third amazing thing that happened was Jeff in San Antonio called. That's an easy, easy hour. The second hour is going to be amazing, too. Tobias Harris, next segment. Joe Montana, after that. So this second hour could be every bit as good as the first hour. But then again, maybe not, because there's nobody in hour number two that is the badass that Jeff in San Antonio is. And that's saying a lot, because arguably the greatest quarterback ever is going to be on the show this hour. Yeah, I went there. I mean, there's badass, and then there's badassery. Jeff in San Antonio. Now, I ran out of time at the end of the hour, so there's something as part of that call that we did not address. I touched on it. I said, did he talk about rolling that thing out? Did he talk about a launch on February 3rd or April 5th? Did he do that? In fact, he did do that. And a few of you picked up on why he did that. February 3rd or April 5th as the launch date for his Baby Jordan brand. Why? February 3rd is 2-3. April 5th is 4-5. Get it? 23-45. One more thing about Jeff. Like, I don't know if Jeff has a business plan or if Jeff just got the domain rights for Baby Jordan. Whatever it is, he thinks he's going to be a billionaire. Meantime, tweets, lots and lots of tweets. Really quickly, Jed in Illinois tweets, hey, Buffalo Wild Wings, better stack up some extra napkins for Jeff, but not for his hands. Give him anything more than mild and tears will be flowing. Gary near Tahoe tweets, thanks for keeping Jeff on hold 10 minutes. His break was almost over and the dishes were piling up in the kitchen. Regards, the Buffalo Wild Wings manager. Hey, Jeff, one more thing that makes you a badass. Way to go to one of our partners. Way to make that phone call from a landline or a hard line from Buffalo Wild Wings. Respect. Rome, complete. Yo, the flight deck's in the house. James Kelly, what's up? Y'all looking? Are you watching? How come you're not getting him on camera? CBS Sports Network, my man. I forgot for a minute that he was here. And then all of a sudden, the sun got blotted out for a minute. It got dark. I'm like, no, wait, did it start raining again? Oh, that's James Kelly. James Kelly is so awesome. Every time this guy walks through these doors, because it's only once a week, every Friday when the flight deck walks through the door and the guys get behind him and push him through the door because of his head, it's just so awesome to see, Broham.
That's right.
That's right, James Kelly. What's up, man? Fired up.
We're going ballistic.
I'm going to skip to his pile. I know if he's bringing it in, it's good. A camo bum tweets, Jeff in San Antonio gets upset when his fiance leaves the toilet seat up. All right, flight deck, respectfully, after I just hyped you up, I know you only come in once a week. We've read that on the air before. I've seen that about 1,000 times, that one.
Omaha!
February 3rd or April 5th.
Got it. 23 or 45. Mike D for three tweets. Jeff got his fiance pregnant and still couldn't close a shotgun wedding. What a loser.
Keep my name out his mouth.
You keep his name out your mouth. All of you. Hey, Rome, complete 180. I would not want to mess with a guy that uses a business's landline. Called Dana White to get Jeff in San Antonio a contract. John in Huntington Beach, shivering in fear of Jeff. Jeff wanted to make a couple of things very clear. One, he's a badass. Now, if you're going to come out here on national radio and say you're a badass, you better be able to justify that. You better be able to point to something and say, this is in fact evidence of my badassery. He did. One, he has a kid. That makes him a badass. Two, He used a business's landline. And I'd even add one more thing. He used a hospital's landline.
I am who I am. I'm definitely a badass.
And not only that, not the hypothetical three, but the 1,000th seed for the hack-off. And he will not be participating or even listening that day. And finally, one more. And listen, don't think that I couldn't just do the rest of the show by reading these things, because I could. Hey, Mr. Badass, maybe pay attention to your screaming child instead of panhandling a landline at BWW to not RSVP, you whiny ass. Chris in Wichita. Hey, gang, lost in all that was, not an RSVP call. The other seven are in. And he's like, oh, hell no.
Dude, I am way above that.
He said, I'm more smack-off than hack-off. All right, let's go to the next topic. Although that topic could carry the show. Jeff. Let me tell you about Jeff. Jeff has become the best caller on the show. There's nobody. I mean, I'm going to say even maybe Brad, who's the best caller in the history of sports talk radio. You hear what I just said? The best caller in the history of sports talk radio, the BIC. He might not even be as good as Jeff in San Antonio for the program. Because as much content as Brad creates, and he creates a ton, he may not create that much.
I'm smack-off material. I'm not hack-off material.
That said, let's go to another topic. Let's talk about Jacksonville. I talked about Derrick Henry, but we haven't gotten into Jacksonville. This email sets it up. Hey, Rome, Jalen Ramsey is the definition of oblivious. All that talk he did at the beginning of the year, and he has nothing to show for it except a 4-9 team. The icing on the cake is him flexing after shutting Henry down last night from getting his fifth rushing touchdown. Nothing is more pathetic than a guy showing off on one play when your team is getting its head kicked in. Talk is cheap if you and your team can't back it up. Jamie in Green Bay. All right, so I've had Jalen Ramsey on this show. I hyped Jalen Ramsey prior to the season when he was popping off. I said, we don't see enough of that. Guy's a great player. He's got a great work ethic. He's got a great story. He's got a great background, great family. I can't get enough of this guy. And I meant it. I don't take any of that back. At that time, that made sense. But what Jamie in Green Bay says is accurate. In fact, Jamie's not even going far enough. It's one thing to flex when you're getting beaten down the way they did last night. But that was no one-off. That was not last night. That was an entire season. This has been one of the more disappointing teams that I've ever seen, ever in the NFL. And I don't mean this year. I don't mean one of the most disappointing teams this year. I mean one of the most disappointing teams I've ever seen. And for these guys to run Derrick Henry out of bounds and to celebrate that like, oh, big stop. Yeah, how you like us now? How does he like you now? He just gassed you for four touchdowns and over 200 yards rushing. That's how he likes you now? I mean, these guys celebrating that? Yeah, not here. Not on our watch. Not on my watch. You're not going to rush for 250 and five touchdowns. Look, as a guy, and I need more time to get into this, but let me just start. As a guy who has set records talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars, I feel like that I can say this. Hell, as a guy who has been up front and repping Saxonville before it was even a city on the map, not only do I feel like I've got the right to say it, I feel like I have to say it. The Jags are trash.
Totally trash.
Which is better, mine or LT's? I mean, that sentence hurt me. I mean, it hurts me to say that. Like, Jacksonville's trash? That hurt. In fact, that felt terrible to even say that. But it's my job, right? It's my job to call it the way I see it. And unfortunately, I cannot unsee what I saw last night.
Totally trashed.
How does a team running on Coughlin time not show up at all? Never mind show up late. Never mind not showing up on Coughlin time or showing up late. I mean, not showing up at all. When the face of your franchise has made his very brand being on time is really being 5 minutes early? How the hell can a team no-show for the entire game like that when the whole league is watching? All of your peers are watching. The nation is watching. Because what I saw last night was a straight-up disaster. An offense that could not do anything at all. But we knew that. We knew that. An offense that could not do anything at all, and that's the way it's been. However, it was the defense. The defense looked as bad as the offense, and that's not easy to do when you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, a defense that turned Derrick Henry into Bo Jackson. I mean, the kind of all-out team effort that usually leads to an end-of-the-year reckoning and a stack of pink slips. Let me be straight. After last night, the only question left is why wait? Why wait until the end of the year? There is a reason that I did not roll out yesterday and give you a preview of that Thursday night matchup. And it's not the Titans. Hey, look, when Tennessee's good, they're real good. And when they're not, they're really not. But at least you know they can show up. At least you know what they're capable of. At least you knew they would show up. Half the guys from Jacksonville did not bother getting out of their cars or the bus. The other half are a foot and a half beneath the sod after a Derrick Henry stiff arm. I mean, for lack of a better phrase, totally trash.
Totally trash.
They rolled over. I never thought that I would see that from a Doug Marrone team, nor a Tom Coughlin hired Doug Marrone head coach. Bad look. And them celebrating keeping Derrick Henry out of the end zone for a fifth touchdown is the worst look. And Jacksonville, I mean, when it goes fast. This is a team that was 3-1. This is a team that beat the Patriots. And we were all, myself included, talking about, you know what? Maybe the Super Bowl does run through Jayville. Maybe they are the AFC's best. And now they're not only the AFC, but they're the NFL's biggest disappointment. All right, I'll finish that thought later on. When we come back, Tobias Harris, Clippers forward, joins me. Joe Montana later on this hour. With the weather getting colder, the struggle to get out of bed in the morning is real. My Casper mattress makes it so tempting to hide under the covers and stay cozy. It's hands down the best and most comfortable mattress I have ever slept on. Once you try Casper, you are going to love yours as much as I love mine. Casper ships right to your front door for free in a box so small you wonder how they got the mattress inside of it. And if for whatever reason you don't love it, they will pick it up. They will refund you everything. But I doubt that's going to happen. From its engineering to its packaging to letting you try it for 100 nights, it is no wonder Casper has over 35,000 five-star reviews of all of their products across Casper, Google, and Amazon. Sleeping on a mattress is the best way to try that mattress. Put Casper to the test in your own home for 100 nights, risk-free. Go to Casper.com. Use the code ROME and get $50 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Once again, Casper.com, code name ROME, get $50 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com, terms and conditions do apply.
You're listening to the Jim.
Welcome back. Busy, busy second hour. I've got Joe Montana coming up later on this hour, but as promised, right now we are talking Clipper basketball. I'm joined by a forward for the Clippers. He is having a big, big season. 21 points, nearly 9 rebounds per game this year. The Western Conference Player of the Month for November. You might recall he was an SEC All-Freshman at Tennessee. He was the 19th pick overall in 2011. Also, Miami is at L.A., tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. Pacific. Tobias Harris is my guest. Tobias, so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to be back.
Thank you. It's great to have you back. All right, so you dropped a tough one to Memphis on Wednesday night, but overall, the team has gotten off to a tremendous start. When did you first start thinking that this group might have something special in it?
Well, I knew during training camp we had some really good chemistry, and you know, just to see all the pieces come together, and we competed during the training camp time, and we were able to really get off to a good start in the preseason. And that's when I kind of saw the potential for our team. And we've just been fueling off the chemistry and continuing to, like, every single night play as hard as we can. So that's been working out well for us. And the best thing about our team is that we're not content. We want to continue to get better and continue to move forward.
Tobias Harris joining us. You know, when you mentioned chemistry, in an era of super teams, this is a team that does not necessarily have a superstar, and in fact has a number of guys who came to L.A. when superstars were traded away. So is there a feeling maybe in the locker room that you've got a bunch of guys who may have been overlooked, maybe even disrespected, and do they use it as motivation?
Yeah, I mean, you know, regardless of guys being overlooked or disrespected, just guys who are hungry to prove to themselves and prove to others, and prove to everyone in the locker room that they can help a team and help our team be the best team that we can be. So we have a lot of guys who are, you know, selfless and just going out and playing for one another and, you know, playing to win the game and playing basketball the right way with great pace and great chemistry. So that's the type of identity of a team we have. And we have a lot of good players and guys who can a lot of depth on this team of different guys who can contribute. So I think our depth is one of the best things about our team.
Tobias Harris joining us. You know, your depth, and also I'm glad you mentioned pace, because your teammate Montrezl Harrell has said, quote, when you come to play for the Clippers, you're going to be exhausted. You're going to be fatigued. You're going to be emotionally drained, end of quote. Mike Scott, though, put it more succinctly. He said, and I quote, we ain't no bitches. How would you describe, it's an amazing quote. How would you describe the attitude of the team?
It's a tough team. Tough-minded guys. Guys who have all been in or are all at the stage of their careers where they want to, you know, prove to themselves and everybody around the league that we're winners. And when you look at this group and every single night that you play against us, you know you're getting a team that's going to come at you for the whole game. And, you know, I would describe it just as being tough, being mentally tough, physically tough, and a team that, you know, gets it done just execution-wise.
Tobias Harris joining us once again. You know, Doc Rivers said something I think, Tobias, it's amazing. He said this about you. He said the way you process scouting reports and film and everything that the coaches give to you reminds him of Kevin Garnett. I mean, that's like the highest praise imaginable, because when you think about preparation and knowing the game, there aren't very many guys better than KG. So what's it mean to you to hear that from Doc?
That means a lot. And for me, that just is a testament to the seriousness that I bring into the game. And, you know, everything that I do in my life, I'm going to be organized, I'm going to be prepared. And I love going into every single game, embracing the new challenge of playing against a new team, and just embracing the challenge of doing whatever I can to help my team win. And that's what I pride myself on. I pride myself on that, on the basketball court and outside of the basketball court. And that's a very high praise, especially to be compared to a guy in that respect of Kevin Garnett. That means a lot.
Yeah, I want to finish that thought and have another story, another angle about that. You and I have talked in the past about your offseason workouts, but there's a story from Clippers assistant John Welch that is pretty amazing to me. Normally, he sends every player into the offseason with a list of things to work on. Instead, you gave him an itinerary of every workout that you'd be doing when he dropped in on you in Garden City, New York. And then when he showed up, it wasn't just you working out. There were sessions where it was you, your siblings, and your parents working out. I mean, what were those sessions like?
Well, you know, everybody, my siblings, we all play at a high level. You know, I have a brother who plays in Japan. My other younger brother plays at in the collegiate level, Division I, and my younger sister, too. So when we're working out, it's, you know, doing the exact same thing I'm doing. It's basketball training, you know, weight training, conditioning. And those are, you know, really, really tough and intense workouts. And then my parents, when we do the weight training and the condition, they come along and do the conditioning with us. So we keep it in the family. We push each other as a family. And we want to, you know, just like my parents, they're older, but at the end of the day, I want them to be healthy too. So it's about lifestyle, you know. A lot of it's basketball, but at the end of the day, it's just about the lifestyle of bettering yourself and trying to be the best you. And, you know, we enjoy each other's company and being around each other. And that's our really close family. I wouldn't be where I'm at today without my family. And it's just us embracing each other, and it's a lot of fun.
Dude, can I say, the Harris family's amazing. I mean, I would think that, like, when you grind the way you grind, that when you want to get back with your family, maybe you want to get away from it all, it sounds like you double down, you triple down. Like, as far as the LA Times says, that sometimes you work out three times a day when you're back in Long Island with the family, right? So you're not looking for time off. If anything, you're putting more time in, and the whole family is too.
Yeah, and then that's what I really pride my growth as a player on, is being able to go into the off season with a great focus of how to get better, how to improve my game. I mean, you know, every single year I've taken another step on my game, and you know, I'm still only 26 years old, and I look to take more leaps in my game. So every summer when I get those 3.5 months to really grind and really get better, that's a chance for me to, you know, get a lot of work done on my basketball game and my body, physically and mentally. So that's why I love the off season.
Tobias Harris joining us. All right, so now you're also the co-host of the Bobby and Toby show with your teammate, Bobby. And the relationship you two guys have, to me, is amazing. It's one of the coolest things in the NBA, as evidenced by that amazing dance video from a while back. But when you first met his teammates in Detroit, what did he say to you initially? What was it like when the two of you first met?
Well, when he first met me, you know, it was after, like, one of the workouts we had as a team in Detroit. And he was just like, you know, I really didn't like you when I first met you. Like, that's what he tells me, from, like, playing
crazy
against me and things like that. But then he's like, I think we're going to be good friends. And I was like, dang, straight up. So that was funny, because I think that was, like, the reason why it built a friendship. So, like, every day that I see him after, I was like, oh, this guy doesn't like me. You know what I mean? But then as we continue to be around each other, continue to, you know, there'd be times on the road we used to go out and eat dinner. We had a close team in Detroit, so we had some good times, and we were always in the weight room. And it's just a friendship that came about, and especially when we got traded, it was a friendship that was just led on even more. So he's an amazing player, amazing person. Everybody that's around Boban knows, you know, he's a great guy. People always want to be around him, so he's a fun guy to be around.
You know, I was just going to ask you that, because you and I have talked a number of times over the years, so I think people listening have a good sense of who you are. But what about Boban? For those who don't know, how would you describe him? What's he like?
I would say he's one of the funniest guys you ever meet. That's number one. And one of the you know, most caring guys that you'll ever meet. Like, he never wants anybody to feel, you know, he never wants anybody to be sad, never wants anybody to be upset. He cares about other people's feelings a lot, you know, more so than anything. And he's just a great guy to be around. He's never a bad day with him. There's some days where, you know, I'll come in, I may be a little tired, and he'll just be like, oh, you're not the same today. You're not you today. And I was like, no, I'm just a little tired. And then, you know, but he always brings the life out of anybody, and he's just an amazing teammate too.
All right, so one last thought. I mean, he's funny then. He's kind, but you kind of forget, man. Dude can ball. Like the other night against Memphis,
yeah,
he had 19 points. He had 8 rebounds. He did this in 13 minutes. Pat Beverly said after the game that he's a cheat code. So how would you go about stopping Boban if you had to?
Honestly, like, we've had practices and times where we play one-on-one in the post and things like that, and The best thing you have to do is just foul him, because he, you know, he's too tall, and he's really strong too. So when he gets on the court, he's a problem. I mean, he's an instant bucket for us. He can pass the ball, he can shoot the ball. So my best advice is to foul him.
That is good advice too. Bobby and Toby Show, you can look for that on YouTube. Make sure you check that out. Tobias Harris having a big year, 21-9 per game. And the Clippers are playing up. They're at home tomorrow night against Miami, 7:38 p.m. Pacific. Tobias, you know, I appreciate you. And I always appreciate having you on the show. Great to talk to you. Thanks for coming on so we can get caught up. Great talking to you.
Nope. No problem. Great talking to you, too. See you.
Tobias, be good. Tobias Harris. Man, he is great. Man, I love that work ethic so much. Him going back with the family and having 3-a-days. And the whole family's involved, because the family plays at a very high level. And I love what he said, that he would not be where he is without that kind of sport. Bobby and Toby, look for that show on YouTube. Good to talk some Clipper basketball, too. When we come back, I mentioned today was a big day. We had a great first hour. Second hour is cruising. We are scheduled to be joined by arguably the GOAT. Remember that conversation? Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, but Joe Montana. 4 Super Bowl rings. 4-0 in the Super Bowl. Joe Montana scheduled to join me next. Brandon Marshall next hour. First up, bottom of the hour sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS's Super Bowl season continues Sunday with exciting regional action. Playoff and wild card positions are up for grabs. Baltimore going up against Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. Andrew Luck leading Indy into Houston. The Chargers host the Bengals. Check your local listings. Kick your day off with the NFL Today. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. We are efforting Joe Montana. We have found Joe Montana. He is a four-time Super Bowl champ, a three-time Super Bowl MVP, an eight-time Pro Bowl selection, a member of the 1980s All-Decade Team, a member of the NFL's 75th Anniversary Team, a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Today he appears courtesy of the Fan-Controlled Football League, or the FCFL. My guest is Joe Montana. Joe, it's good to have you on. How are you, Joe?
Hey, good, Ronnie. How you doing?
Good, good. How about you, Joe? How are things?
They're good. I've been checking you out, listening to your talk about your Peloton workouts and how you like that thing. We got one of those.
I love that thing, Joe. You about that life? What do you think about Peloton? I love it.
I'm on the easy side. If you're hitting 45 minutes, you're a beast like my wife. She kills it on that machine every day.
Joe,
I just go for a cruise.
Dude, that's amazing. You even know my routine. So the wife does 40. Does the wife do 45? What do you do? Are you like a 30-minute guy or
no,
what?
She goes up and down depending on her time. She's got stamina like you've never seen before. So she could go an hour if she wanted. But she usually is 30, 40, 45 minutes.
She's hardcore. I love it. I appreciate that, Joe. Thanks for saying so. Listen, you've been active, Joe, in venture capital. I want to start right there. In venture capital for quite some time. I want to talk to you about your investment in the FCFL in a moment. But what about investing? When did you first get involved in investing?
Well, when I first retired, Ronnie Lott and Harris Barton and I got involved, and we started a fund of funds in top-tier venture firms. Like we basically leveraged our friendships to get into the places like Sequoia Capital, Kleiner Perkins, Excel, all the top-tier funds. And then those guys helped us get into the top leverage buyout funds, top-tier hedge and top-tier real estate funds. And I backed away when the boys started playing sports. We had about $900 million under management. And as my older son graduated from college, reconnected with a good friend, Ron Conway, from SB Angel, who started taking Nathaniel and I to this incubator out here called Y Combinator. We did a couple little investments here and there together, and Ron talked and starting a fund, and off we went. We raising a second fund, and we're just having a lot of fun with it. A lot of work, but I've got a bunch of good partners. But it's fun seeing all the new technology. It's a lot of interesting to see where the world's headed.
You bet. We're talking to Joe Montana. One more thing about that. What's the biggest challenge that you've encountered in venture capital, Joe? For instance, is it the investments themselves, or maybe is it figuring out who and what you can trust?
Yeah, we invest real early. We're in the seed stage or earlier, so we put a lot of trust in three probably top areas. One, and most important, are the founders. You have to put a lot of trust in them and a lot of belief, and you look for second and third time founders, but in the beginning, you have to really believe in the people that you're investing in. And one of the other things is market size. You know, you can't have a billion-dollar company if you don't have a billion-dollar market. So we look for market size, and probably third of all is you know, what they're toting, whether it's a product or a SaaS company. It doesn't really matter what it is. We just have to believe that if something goes wrong, that those two founders or three founders, whatever it might be, can handle that pressure and be able to make a switch and try to do what's best for the company. And it's fun meeting people. We get to meet a lot of people. We see a lot of deals go by, and it's been fun. We have a couple billion-dollar valuations in our portfolio, and we're off and running.
Good. We're talking to Joe Montana. So, Joe, we're into week 14 of the NFL season, and there are five quarterbacks with more than 3,500 passing yards. When you get a chance to watch games these days, who are the quarterbacks or players that you like to watch?
Well, you know, the ones you always want to watch are probably the guys on the top. You know, I don't see Drew Brees much, but I do like to watch when he's around. Obviously, you see Tom's on a lot. I like watching Roethlisberger. Obviously, the kid in Kansas City is having a tremendous year. And Goff, he's another up-and-coming young guy that's having a tremendous year also. So I like watching the young guys, too, the new guys coming into the league. I like trying to watch Baker Mayfield and the guys in Buffalo and the four or five guys that came out this year, just to see how they make that transition. Transition's hard, very difficult to make.
We're talking to Joe Montana. Joe, you mentioned Tom. So Tom Brady's made it pretty clear over the years that you're in a league of your own, and he disagrees when people say that he's the best of all time. What do you make of the comparisons between you and Tom Brady, or really you and anybody?
Well, it's great to be compared to Tom. Tom's having a tremendous career, and it's going to continue for a while. And, I think it's always, I've always said this, and, I've said it to you a number of times. It's really hard to compare guys. And go back and look at, I always say this, look at Sammy Baugh and Otto Graham, and look at the things they accomplished back then. I keep forgetting which one of them won like 10 or 11 championships. And, how do you compare those guys to me, levels, those guys to Tom, or anybody playing today? The game's changed. It's always changing. It's ever evolving. If you go back and look at what they did to wide receivers back when those guys played, oh my gosh, even right before I got in the league, the things you could do to a wideout as he comes off the ball was crazy. Now, the people want to see the ball thrown, and that's a big part of the game. So they want to give the fans what they want to see, and that's why you're seeing all these numbers get put up there.
I mean, Joe, you love the game. You love the game as much as anybody, but is there any part of you that wonders, and you can't control, of course, when you play the game, but any part of you wonder what kind of numbers and how much fun you would have had with these more offensive-friendly rules that we have right now?
If I said no, I'd be lying, because as a competitor, you just want to play no matter what the game is, when it was, whether it was before me, after me, or even now. Yeah, now is a lot of fun for those guys. I mean, look, as a quarterback, you want to throw the football, and that's just it. I mean, yeah, it's fun if you have a great running back and handoff, and most teams, you got to run the ball to be able to win. But dang, as a quarterback, when you get a run play call, it's like, dang, oh man, like how can I change this? Hopefully, give me a defense, I can change, I can audible out of here. But yeah, it'd be fun. Obviously, everybody says it'd be fun to play today. Like I said, the guys before me said it'd be fun to play when I was playing. So the game is just, unfortunately, it's very physical and it takes its toll on the guys, but it's a fun game to watch and have been a part of.
We're spending a few more moments with Joe Montana. Joe, earlier this year, you spoke at the funeral of your teammate and good friend Dwight Clark, and you told a number of stories about him, but there was one especially powerful story when he asked you if you would speak at his funeral, and as you said, you looked into his eyes and you realized that he was serious. I'm curious, what was that moment like for you?
Oh, it was tough. We came into the league together and been close friends since then. We were roommates, and it's really, the disease is just a monster to watch happen, and it happens so fast. Even with the medications that are out there to try to slow it down, it still goes way faster than you can believe. And to watch he was a big figure. He was a good-sized man, and to watch what it did to him and where he was in the end right before he passed away, it's just devastating. I mean, when he asked me that, I told him, get out of here. I mean, there's no way. We'll get through this. And he knew where it was headed. But it was a sad day. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. And I tried to hold it back because I didn't want to have him. He already has enough to go through. He doesn't have to worry about me being upset that was going to happen. But it was really sickening to watch. My wife and I we struggled hard with it. She had a really tough time with watching him go through that too.
Joe, it is the most devastating disease. It is so debilitating and so devastating and so tough to watch. You are the chief strategic advisor for the Fan-Controlled Football League. First off, what is the FCFL?
Well, I was approached by the guy, the founders of this a while back. And if you look at their proof of concept, when they took the team in Salt Lake and in the Arena Football League, and they let the fans get involved from the outside and be a part of the team by allowing them to pick the coach, pick the players, pick the plays right before they're called. They have an opportunity to pick one of four plays. And it's almost like a game, right, to these, like a game that you would see on your laptop or your mobile device where you earn your own tokens. The more tokens you have, the more weight your vote has. And you earn your way up and down. And like any other game, if you wanted, you can buy those tokens to give yourself more weight quicker and faster. But it gives the fans really a chance to be a part of something. If you look at, you know, why a lot of the viewership is up from the NFL, in the NFL, I think it's from the fantasy leagues. People aren't watching their teams as much as they're watching their players. And now they have a chance to not only, you know, be able to pick those players like they do normally, but they can pick their own team and they can pick the plays and they can actually affect the game and outcome and be a part of that process of calling plays. I just think it's great. It's a one-hour game, live streamed on Twitch right now. And if you look at the partners between Twitch and IMG and a couple more that are going to be named here pretty soon, you'll see it's serious and the people behind it are serious. And to make this thing something that's fun. I mean, here we are again, 7-on-7. Quarterback's dream, right? It's going to be all thrown and a lot of fun.
Never met a quarterback that didn't love 7-on-7. That's the FCFL, the Fan-Controlled Football League. Joe, it's great to get caught up, and I'm glad that you're with Peloton, too. I'm going to look for you on the leaderboard. Let's get that.
I'm not going to tell you my name because I'll never be on the leaderboard. I'll be on the bottom. If you see me down on the bottom, that's probably about where I'm at.
Joe, can I tell you something really quickly? It's kind of humbling, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you think you're going fast and people are blowing by. Wait, I thought I was doing pretty well. And then you look, I turned the leaderboard off now. I got it off the screen.
Just go to your age group, man. Just do your age group. It'll make you feel better. I do that sometimes. I just go to my age group. Joe, great to have you on, Joe. Great talking to you. Thanks
man,
so much.
Great to talk to you, man. Always fun.
You too, Joe. Always fun. Joe Montana. The GOAT. Joe Montana. That's so funny what he said about Peloton. I did not know that he was a Peloton guy. And it's true, man. It's tough. Like, I'm on that thing. I do 45. How he knew my drill, I have no idea. But you can do 45 minutes. You can do 60 minutes. You can do 90 minutes. You can do 30 minutes. You can do 20 minutes. I just kind of found my thing. My thing is 45 minutes. And I got another buddy of mine who's like, hey, bro, I know how competitive you are, man. You're like upper 10%, right? You're upper 5%. I'm not. It is humbling, man. It's hard. It's awesome, but it's hard. You go you against you. That's the way to go. All right, this guy wants a golden ticket bid. Never too soon to try. And again, my thanks to Joe Montana. Let's go to Cal in Vegas, trying to get the golden ticket, trying to lock it up before the end of the year. Cal, what's going on?
Hey, Jim, I can't believe you put me on hold for Joe Montana. Sparrow has no idea who that is. Jim, instead of telling Alvin to give me a golden ticket, you ask the knuckleheads on Twitter if I should get in. Don't get nervous. I'm so good I will silence all the haters. Right now, Alvin's got my golden ticket. He's holding it in his small hands. If you're tuning in on CBS Sportsnet, Alvin's that little horny guy that runs the soundboard. And Alvin gets a lot of action. It's because his woman can't resist his sexy jet black hair. Hey, Jim, it got back to me that little scrub Notch in Little Rock was talking trash about me. Of all the freaking people, Notch was so desperate to be my friend, he drove all the way out to Las Vegas just to have a drink with me. Man, Notch smells as filthy as he looks. Dude reeks of cheap marijuana and KY jelly. Man, I made Notch a house.
That's not a good car. No.
You don't like that car.
I don't like that car. Not a very good car.
Hawk, why do you look so surprised that he got run? Two things, Hawk. A reference to KY is probably going to get you run. And number two, Hawk, look at the guy with the jet black hair on the other side of you. The, quote, horny little guy on the board. What he says goes. If you can see through the flight deck's head to the guy on the other side with the jet black hair. Hawk's looking like, well, why'd you do that to him? Because he was going in on, quote, Notch. All right, like I said, that was a huge hour. Joe Montana, Tobias Harris, Cal in Vegas bidding for a golden ticket, which he did not get. And we have a third hour straight ahead. And the third hour on Friday is always a legendary hour. Brandon Marshall, Alvy's Week That Was, and more. Do not go anywhere.